If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I thought we'd begin with verse 15, but maybe we should begin with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 and went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast known and has not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest to therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. One more verse. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I was trying to think of a title for the message this morning. I probably should have ran it by my wife, as she's more creative than I am. I thought of more bang for your buck, or how to get the most from what God has given to you, but simply the truth of the matter, and the title that would best explain what we want to talk about here is how to increase your life potential. How to increase your life potential. This truth here does not just apply to finances. It's all about really increasing your life potential. One of the most favorite of my missionaries who I like to read about was a man by the name of Jonathan Goforth. He was unique in that he let people come into his house. And the record attendance for one day in his house, people who came by to visit him in one day, 1,835 men. On top of that, there were 500 women. And so he would take the men, and he would take them 150 at a time, and he would talk with them, and they'd have church together. And his wife would take the others, but normally there wasn't as many women that came around, so she would usually play the organ for her husband. But on this particular day, with 500 women, you know, ladies, how would you like to have 500 visitors in one day? You can imagine that she was pretty busy with them herself. And so she didn't get a chance to play the organ for her husband. But as time went on, she heard the organ in the house playing. So she went in to see what this was all about. And there sitting at the organ was her husband, Jonathan Goforth, who couldn't play a note. Musically, totally tone deaf. But here he is sitting at the organ, his hands pressed down on as many keys as possible. He had the bellows going at full blast, and he was playing this, whatever it was, noise to these guys. And as his wife stood there in the doorway, she overheard one of the men saying, "He plays better than his wife." Jonathan Goforth was a unique man that faced many kinds of trials as he served as a missionary in China. One day as he was traveling with his wife in a caravan, they were met by a crowd of several hundred men who were armed with stones and daggers and guns. First came the stones, then came some gunshots. Some of the animals had been broken by the stones that had been hurled at the caravan. Jumping down from the cart, Jonathan Goforth rushed forward, shouting, "Take anything you want, but don't kill. Take anything you want, but don't kill." At once he became the target of a terrible onslaught. One blow from a two-edged sword, struck him on the neck. The thick pitch helmet he was wearing was slashed into pieces. One blow severed the inner leather bond of his helmet just over his temple area. His left arm was raised to protect his head, was slaughtered and slashed to the bone in several places. A blow from behind struck the back of his head, denting in his skull. As he was losing consciousness, he heard something. I'll tell you what he heard later on in the message. But this is a really serious message, and it's something that maybe you have not considered before. I would really love to expand your view of life this morning and your view of ministry in the weeks ahead. Because I don't believe that physical life is static, set, or predetermined. And we're going to be able to answer many questions that you're going through your mind right now. We'll do that in the weeks to come. But I don't think that spiritual life is static, set, or predetermined either. God gives us the power to shorten or lengthen our physical life. He gives us the power to limit or expand our life's potential. We can also decrease our life's potential. Now, there's something interesting about the Israelites and their border. When the children of Israel entered the promised land, they conquered a large portion of land. However, Israel never conquered as much land as God said she could have. According to the scriptures, number of scriptures, God meant for Israel to have not only her land, but half of Jordan, part of Saudi Arabia, one-third of Iraq, half of Syria, and all of Lebanon. Israel was meant by God to have an area of land 10 times the size that it has now or has ever had. Interesting. In Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." You know what that's saying? It's saying that the Israelites never conquered all the land that God had promised to them. And when Joshua died, there was still a lot of land left to be conquered, a lot of land left to be gained. And you know, as I look back on my life, I hope I don't someday, as I near the end of it, look back and say, there was a lot of things that I left undone. There was a lot of land there that God meant for me to possess, a lot of giants He meant for me to conquer, but I fell short. I didn't live up to my life's potential. I didn't do all that God had for me to do. What a sobering thought that would be. And so I want us to consider these things, that we can learn a lesson from the Israelites. They never did possess all the remaining land. Israel will be 10 times bigger when Jesus comes back than it is now or when Joshua conquered it. First, in the heart of the message this morning is this point. God gives us the power to shorten or lengthen our physical life. How to lengthen your days. First of all, honor your parents. Honor your parents. This is the only commandment of the ten that comes with a promise. The fifth commandment was the only commandment of the ten that came with this promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Honor your father and your mother. You know, parents don't usually need much from their children. But what we can give them is honor. And let me tell you that honor has nothing to do with your parents. Honor has everything to do with you. I don't know a father or a mother that doesn't have some faults. But honor has nothing to do with that. You honor them because they are your parents. You honor them because you are your mom and dad. Now let me ask you this question. How old do you have to be to stop honoring your parents? Never. If your parents are still alive, the command is still in effect. Honor your father and your mother, and the blessing that comes with that is long days. We may be amazed when we get to heaven to find out that someone lived far longer than they would have lived because they honored their parents. Secondly, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 18. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. To get wisdom. Somebody has given this definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's frame of reference. To see from God's point of view. And I like that because, you know, in Proverbs chapter 9, Jesus is personified as wisdom. He is all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So when we have the ability to see what happens to us from God's frame of reference, from God's point of view, then we are looking at it in a wise way. We are gaining wisdom. Now, if God's wisdom is this big, actually it's infinite, but if God's wisdom is this big, how big is our wisdom? Smaller. Even if it's this big, even if it's this big, we still have a long way to go in understanding God's wisdom and acquiring God's wisdom for ourselves. But you know, the tendency is we try to cover up and hide our lack of wisdom, like the man who brought a yacht. His wife was nervous because he had no experience in sailing. But he knew he could handle it, and so for weeks he practiced in the harbor before taking it out to sea. Finally, he talked his nervous wife into getting on the yacht with him. Gingerly, she stepped aboard. Out into the harbor they headed, and he tried to put her at ease. He said, "Honey, look, I practiced enough in this harbor to know where every rock, every reef, every sandbar is." And at that very moment, a huge hidden rock beneath the surface made a large crunching sound from stern to stern. "There," he said with a sheepish grin, "is one of them going by now." The truth is, we need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with others, and most importantly, we need to be honest with God when we lack wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Here, wisdom and understanding are joined, implying that when a man puts into practice his wisdom, then he is demonstrating true understanding. So we get wisdom, we put that wisdom into practice, and then we're demonstrating understanding. Wisdom is to be found, understanding is to be gotten, but both of them are to be retained. Happy is the man that retaineth her. To find something is to locate it, to get it is to lay hold on it, and to retain it is to keep it and not lose it, let it go, not lose it. Proverbs 3:14, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." It's saying that the things that you gain from wisdom and understanding are far greater than the things that you could obtain by purchasing them with silver and gold. Think about it. What price could you put on the hope of eternal salvation? Just to have assurance of salvation, to know that you've been redeemed, and to know that you are going to go to heaven someday. I mean, what kind of price could you put on that? To have the assurance of life after death, and to have peace of mind and heart, no matter how troubled your circumstances might be, to have the peace that passes all understanding, to have the peace of God guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. There is infinite value in something like that. The gain is tremendous. The gain is obviously that which can be earned by wisdom and understanding, and the merchandise is what can be obtained by trading with wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 3:15, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." In other words, wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore, with thy getting, get wisdom. Get understanding," Solomon tells us. It's more valuable than jewelry. It's more valuable than rubies. Verse 18 says, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her." She's a tree of life. This is a promise of lengthened physical life upon this earth. Like Proverbs 3:2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Length of days refers to fullness of life. Long life refers to more time. The first mention of wisdom in the Bible involves the skillful making of things to benefit the work of God. If you remember the law of first mention, the first time a subject is mentioned in the Bible, it gives us a clue on how that topic is used throughout the Scriptures. So the first time the word wise is used is in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 3. It says, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priestly office." So what was needed was wisdom in how to make and construct these garments that the priests would wear. That is just the beginning. And so we see that wisdom is involved in making something. Next was the wise construction of various buildings for the work of God. And then that theme of building in conjunction with wisdom is throughout Scripture. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, had great wisdom and understanding, and with it he built what? What did he build? The temple. Solomon, all that wisdom and understanding, he used that wisdom to build the temple. In Proverbs 9:1, he says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." Again, he explained in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established." As a boy, Scriptures say that Jesus grew. He increased in wisdom and in stature. What was Jesus by trade? He was a carpenter. He built things. When he began his ministry, he used the analogy of a wise man building his house upon a rock, the foolish man building his house upon the sand. And the trial of the storms would determine who that wise person was. The one who built on the rock the solid foundation, or the one who built his house upon the sand. Paul described his ministry by comparing himself as a wise master builder. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder." And so the function of wisdom is to build up, but the result of foolishness is to tear down. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Throughout Scripture, you will find wise contrasted with foolish, wisdom contrasted with foolishness. And so you have to build wisdom into your life. This is the principal thing. That's what Solomon tells us. The principal thing to do with your life is to build wisdom into it. How do you do it? It's nice, but how do you build wisdom into your life? How do you get this wisdom? Number of ways, ask God for it. On your outline, there's verses behind them. I'm not going to read the verses this morning, but you can look them up if you'd like. Study God's law. Keep God's commandments with you. Fear the Lord. Read Proverbs. Look for God's testimonies. Hear instruction. Seek it early. Listen to rebukes. Seek wise counsel. So how can we lengthen our life? First of all, by honoring our parents. Secondly, by getting wisdom. Thirdly, by keeping God's commandments. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 14. If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, a wise child will stay within the boundaries that his father sets up. The foolish child would step outside of those boundaries that his parents has set up for him. Why are those boundaries there? Those boundaries are there for that child's protection. Mom and dad know that if they step out of those boundaries, if they cross the line, there's trouble, there's danger that awaits them. And so the loving parent gives his children boundaries. God is no different. As our loving Heavenly Father, He has set up boundaries. He has given us commandments that we are to follow. And He knows that if we stay within the confines of His commandments, we can stay safe. But if we step outside of those boundaries and we begin to violate His commandments, He knows that there's sorrow, there's trouble, and there's even death on the other side. And so the wise person understands these boundaries, understands these commandments, and they stay within them, and their life is blessed. And they keep themselves out of danger and harm. God warns also that the soul who sins, who disobeys His commandments, will die. And that's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Remember, David was referring to God's law here. He was referring to the commandments of the Lord. And as Paul said, even in the New Testament, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But if you go to school and you get an education, you don't discard it later on. But rather, you use that education, you use the things that you learned for the rest of your life. Am I right? I mean, if you went to school and you paid $80,000, which I guess is what it costs to go to North Central nowadays, and you get an education, you better not throw it away. You better use it for the rest of your life. But Satan is doing all that he can to discredit God's law and remove His commandments from before our eyes. What's the big deal over the fight over these commandments on these walls anyway? I tell you, Satan is doing all that he can to remove those commandments because he knows that if we do away with God's laws, there's death and there's destruction that awaits. Satan has come only to kill, steal, and destroy. Would you agree with that? He has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give what? Life, and that more abundantly. He has come to give you more abundant life. I mean, what would you rather choose? Somebody who's out to destroy you or somebody who wants to bless your life and give you an abundance and fullness of life? And so please understand the battle that we are in is Satan is trying to remove these commandments and limit our life potential. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Good question. He answers his own question here by saying, God forbid. No way. But he said, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He didn't know that lust or coveting was a sin. Only as the law revealed it as sin did he come to understand it as such. Romans 5:13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And then Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law is the very thing that makes us aware of our sin. I would not have known sin had it not been for the law. And if I had not known what sin was, I would have never seen a need for a Savior. And if I had never seen a need for a Savior, I never would have cried out to Him to forgive me of my sins and bring me to a place of justification. Okay, that is the reason for the law. The law brings us to Christ. But once we have come to Christ, we don't just throw it away. We realize that there are some benefits in that law for us. And in fact, honoring God's law, more than His law, His entire word, is what brings us true success. When Joshua began his conquest of the promised land, he was told, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. David praised the law as he began the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And it goes on to talk about the ungodly, how those things won't happen to the ungodly. But in reality, their leaf will wither and there's destruction that awaits. And so how do we lengthen our life? Obey our parents, seek wisdom, keep God's commandments before us, take care of your body. That's kind of a practical one. And then ask God and give Him a reason to let you live longer. Ask God and give Him a reason to let you live longer. Hezekiah was told he was going to die. But he prayed and asked God to let him live longer. And God gave him 15 more years. You know, if you are faced with something terminal, some terminal disease, and we pray for healing, and we should. I mean, we may discern that it's our time to go home to be with the Lord. But what if we gave God a reason to heal us and let us live longer? Say, God, I will use these extra years that you have given me to serve you. I will do my best to serve you and give you my all if you would just heal me and let me live. That's what Hezekiah said. And God answered his prayer and God gave him 15 more years. Now, before we go any further, I'd like us to look at Psalm 119 and verse 32. Psalm 119 and verse 32. The psalmist said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run the way of thy commandments. I'll be excited. I'll be looking forward to keeping your commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. We're going to pray to God And we're going to ask God to enlarge our hearts. See, prayer releases your capacity. Prayer releases your capacity. Here it releases your capacity to obey His commandments. Now, prayer releases your capacity in many areas, but here, the ability, the capacity to keep His commandments. And so would you pray that prayer that is on your outline, the prayer that is on the screen? Would you just pray it silently in your pew right now? In your heart, whisper it to God, whatever you like. But make this your prayer today. Oh God, enlarge my heart. I will run the way of Thy commandments when You enlarge my heart. Increase my capacity to be enlarged so that I can surpass my life potential. Now let's pray that out loud, could we? Together. Ready? Oh God, enlarge my heart. I will run the way of Thy commandments when You enlarge my heart. Increase my capacity to be enlarged so that I can surpass my life potential. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to slip down here. I want to focus on something here for just a couple of minutes. First of all, let me finish that story by Jonathan Goforth. He was losing consciousness as he was beaten. He heard a voice saying, "Fear not." And as he was slipping into consciousness, he saw a horse coming down upon him at full gallop. On regaining consciousness, he found this horse had thrown its rider and had fallen on the smooth ground close beside him. The animal started kicking furiously. That animal became a barrier between Jonathan Goforth and all of his attackers. That animal stayed there, kicking and fighting, until Jonathan Goforth got up the strength to stand. Standing there dazed, a man raised up as if to strike him, but then he whispered, "Everyone get away from the carts." Then the crowd of people that had been gathered to watch this started fighting with the attackers over the possessions of the Goforths. And because of the confusion, the Goforths were able to escape. There are a lot of stories about Jonathan Goforth in his life like that. The interesting thing was that the sword, the blow from the sword, was hit with the blunt edge of the sword. It struck his neck, leaving only a slight bruise. When the inner leather band of his helmet was severed, it was just a mere fraction of an inch short of being fatal. The blow from behind dented his skull. Doctors said it was a miracle that his skull was not cleft in two. You know what Jonathan Goforth did? Jonathan Goforth should have died at a younger age. He became sick. His family was dying all around him. People, missionaries were dying all around him. He got caught up in that Boxer Rebellion there in China. Attack after attack that could have taken his life. Jonathan Goforth prayed and he said, "God, would You give me 20 more years?" He only got half that many. But he accomplished, it said, more in that decade than many missionaries do in a lifetime. After he had returned home for a while and come back, the change was dramatic. People said that before, people just trickled into his house. But after that time, they came in droves. In fact, 1932, he stayed on the missionary field till 1934. 1932, he baptized 472 people. In 1933, he baptized 778 people. In 1934, he baptized 966 people. He left China the next year, but he continued to speak after he came home to the States. He continued to speak until God called him home. Could I suggest to you today that God's retirement plan is heaven? If you ask God to let you live longer and you give him a reason why he should, he just might let you do it. Refuse to retire from your life calling until you die. I'm not saying you don't quit your jobs and retire from that. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is don't ever retire from serving the Lord. Don't be someone who says, I've worked all my life and now I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. Why should God let you stay here if you're not doing any good for him? In fact, Jesus said some solemn words to a man who was going to sit down and take it easy. Luke chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? God has this right and this power. And so that is something we need to think about. It's something that we need to ponder. The wise person continues to build. The wise person continues to build. You are to be building all of life. And as you build, you'll grow in wisdom, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, which is the purpose for which we are here anyway. God is conforming us into the image of his dear Son. Could we pray? Next week, we want to focus more on our spiritual life and how we can increase our life potential in there. Today we've talked mainly about the physical life, but the physical life is tied to the spiritual. And if what I'm saying is true today, and I believe it is, what are you doing to make your life full? To make it abundant? And if possible, even to increase its longevity. You honoring your parents, seeking wisdom, obeying God's commands, taking care of your body. Do you ever stop and think, maybe I should ask God to lengthen my life, but only so I can use it for his glory? And if God doesn't, you're not out anything. But if he does, you'll be blessed. How many here today would say, Pastor, I'm going to at least consider what you said. And if I think you're right, I'm going to build these things in my life. And no matter what, I'm going to attempt to build wisdom because that's good anyway. Even if it doesn't increase my life, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main thing to get. And so I'm going to do what I can to build wisdom. If that's you, could God see your hand up and then down? Amen. Amen. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come into our lives. Holy Spirit, that you would just burn deep within our hearts the desire to serve our Lord. Help us to get a vision for our lives. Help us to see the potential that we have. And then, Lord, to do whatever we can to reach that potential. And to let things go that would diminish our potential. Father, I thank you for each one here. I commit their lives and their ministries to you this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.